Jehovah Jireh, what a tremendous name of our God given by Abraham there as God touched his heart by faith there as he was on Mount Moriah, the place where Jesus Christ would be crucified here 2,000 years before. And he makes that great statement, the Lord sees and will provide. And here we're talking about the fact that God had told him that Isaac was to be a sacrifice. And so he was saying, God will provide through a resurrection. You talk about faith. That's an amazing thing. Well, how did Abraham get to that place? Several years ago, and you could relate to this because of the reports just even this last year of the hurricane there in Florida, but several years ago, a man reported his observations of the effects of a hurricane on southeastern Gulf Coast town. That's exactly where it happened again. As he walked up and down the ravaged streets, he observed that the palm trees had been uprooted and flung about. And we've seen pictures like that. Once tall and majestic, their root systems were too shallow to withstand the hurricane force winds. But as he proceeded, he came upon a lone oak tree. The leaves had been blown away for the most part, and some of the smaller branches ripped off, but the roots were deep, and the tree held its position, and in due season would again produce leaves. What a picture of how the believer needs to come to a place where their root system, the root system of their life, is deep into the Word of God. And that they are living by faith, no longer moved by the visible circumstances of life, but absolutely convinced that God means what he says. Well, that's what happened in Abraham's life. We certainly didn't see it all the way along, but God developed that. And really, folks, we all need to understand there are only two ways to live. The one is to live by sight, basing everything upon what you see and experience. The other is far less common, but believers should live by faith, to live primarily and ultimately in what you cannot see, but what you know the Word of God says. And that's why we even think of Abraham as being the father of faith in the Scriptures. Charles Wesley, when studying Genesis 4, verse 13, talking about the strengthening of Abraham's faith and how he believed God regarding Isaac's birth and so forth, he wrote a tremendous hymn. And one of the verses says, faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to that alone, laughs at life's impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. Folks, that's where we all need to be. That's the kind of life deeply rooted and grounded, as Colossians chapter 2 says. And that's what we want to learn here during this month, some of the things that are very important. So let's talk about faith for a minute. The beloved devotional writer F.B. Meyer gives three necessary preliminaries in order to have faith. First of all, he says, there has to be an engagement of promise. In other words, there has to be a promise before you can have faith in something. Faith is not emotion. Faith is based upon objective declaration. Number two, there must be a good reason for believing in the integrity and the sufficiency of the person by whom the engagement has been made. And I don't know about you, but there's far less people in this day we live, whether or not we can really trust them, but you can trust God absolutely. So he makes a promise, his integrity is sure, and there follows a comfortable assurance that it will be even so. In fact, the believer is able to count on the object promised as being not less sure than if he already had come into actual possession. Faith. That's what Abraham had. Let me give you my simple definition here. It's the simple choice to depend on the reality of the words of God. The simple choice to depend upon the reality of the words of God. This is evidenced by the exercising of the will in obedience, in full dependence on God for the ability to obey. So you got to believe the Bible is true. And then you have to exercise your will to step out and obey, but not depending upon yourself, but on the provision that only God can give. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at the life of Abraham in these last moments here this morning, not from Genesis chapter 22, as we've been looking at it, but from chapter 11, the great faith chapter in the book of Hebrews. And it begins with that wonderful verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, this is not a definition. This is a description of faith. When you hear a phrase such as knowledge is power, well, power is not the definition of knowledge, but it tells you the effect of knowledge and what can come from it. The same kind of construction here. And it's very interesting. The word substance means assurance, reality. So faith, if you have faith, you're going to have assurance of things hoped for, the evidence, the conviction, the convincement of things not seen. Now, folks, one of the things that is so important in the Christian life is to go beyond just having knowledge of God's word to the place where you have conviction about God's word. And you have seen God's word proved out. And as you face the storms of life, and as you face the difficulties of life, this is just rock solid in your soul. Thus saith the Lord, God's going to do it, and it's already done as far as I'm concerned. Now, that doesn't come overnight. Now, we take steps of faith as a baby Christian, as was mentioned so well by Brother Munt, and that's the point. We will take steps of faith, but we want to get to the place of this kind of conviction in our life. Let me give you another definition that I think is so good by Homer Kent. Hence, faith is the confident assurance which the believer has because God has provided conviction about unseen realities. So in Abraham here, we're going to look at a couple of highlights from the life laid out here in this faith chapter, which is all constructed by the Holy Spirit to help us understand faith. But Abraham reveals here the progression of growth that comes from continuous faith. If we continue to walk by faith, there will be development in our lives, our whole perspective, our character, the habits of our life, and the convincement in our soul will continue to become more and more dominant and more and more victory. And that is really thrilling. And it's by faith. So let's look first of all at the journey of faith. If you look with me at verse 8 here in chapter 11, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, this is pretty amazing. Abraham lived in Ur of the Chaldees, and this was not a place you would want to leave to go to where God had commanded him to go. It was a comfortable place. It was one of the centers of early civilization. It was a power center. It was a rich and thriving place close by to Babylon, what would become the Babylon of days later. And so he chose to believe God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So the first step is obviously salvation by faith. Salvation by faith. I believe when, as we find in Genesis 12, when Abraham heard what God called him to do and he left the Ur of the Chaldees, he placed his faith in Jehovah God and not in the past belief systems that he had, and he put his trust in the salvation of God as he best knew it. And that was where it all started. And so when he was being called, that's why the participle is there, he obeyed. He he took a step. He, by the way, he came out of paganism. Joshua 24 states that. In verse 2, and Joshua said unto the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood, speaking of the Euphrates, in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. So Abraham wasn't a follower of Jehovah all the way along. He followed other gods. He came out of paganism and he yielded to Jehovah God. You got to understand, that area was the seat of satanic control. The Tower of Babel was in that area. And you certainly see that in the life of Daniel. And as you read of Babylon, it was a demonic power center. And in that center, he did not allow all that allurement to stop him, but he chose to trust God and God alone. Folks, that's what salvation is. It's simply not trusting the world, not trusting any system, and not trusting ourselves. We can't save ourselves. It is that step of faith where we believe that it's through the finished work of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, and through him alone, we have everlasting life. And we cannot save ourselves. God will do it, but we must exercise our will. That's what Abraham did, and it was counted to him for righteousness. If you will do that today, it will be eternally counted to you for righteousness. If you'll turn your back on any other dependence and believe on Christ alone. And so Abraham listened, trusted, and obeyed. And so that was where it all starts. But then sanctification occurred by faith. And he continued on in verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now, he went up out of Ur of the Chaldees to Haran at the top of the Fertile Crescent, with his family, and then God said, go into the land of Canaan, which was not his people, and that God was going to give him that land. And so he began taking steps, leaving the world completely behind, all of the things that had been important to him, and he became a pilgrim. Now, you got to understand, it's obvious that he had some means. He probably had a really nice house in Ur of Chaldees. And even in Haran, which was way up at the northern part of the Fertile Crescent. But now, for the rest of his life, he was going to live in a tent. Now, I love to go camping, but I wouldn't want to camp, especially in Wisconsin, 365 days a year. But he was camping for the rest of his life. He was a pilgrim and a sojourner. It's like we should learn from him. We ought to say, I don't know what you are going to do with me, Lord, but I'm going to drop all those old things. I don't know what you're going to substitute for them, but I'm going to let them go. See, this is the attitude of a faith pilgrim, the life of faith, willing to leave behind what is just temporal and begin to understand what is most important. And as Galatians 1:4, speaking of Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. And so this matter of developing in the faith starts by faith in Christ for salvation. And then each time that you see God leading and decisions that you need to make, trusting him instead of how we think and how everybody else thinks. And the more you do that, the more you become convinced this book is right. Sort of reminds you of a telephone pole climber. You know, that's really quite an art. If you've ever seen the old-fashioned guys going up and down those telephone poles, I think, I wouldn't want that job. And they have that belt, you know, and they wear those spike shoes. And they say about anybody that does it, they're told to lean back on that belt, totally trust that in your shoes, and don't hold on to the pole. If you hold on to the pole and not trust the belt which causes the spikes to dig in, you will start sliding down the pole. And it doesn't do much for your hands when you slide down a telephone pole. It takes a few splinters, but they say that telephone pole climbers soon learn it's far better to lean back and trust the belt than to have very sore hands, okay? And so it is in the Christian life. When you begin to lean into the promises of God, quit trying to hold on yourself and do it yourself. And you know, when you do that, you start sliding down the pole. Ever notice that? When you trust yourself, and oh man, there's all kinds of issues. But man, when you trust the Lord, even through the trials, you're firmly grounded and you can keep moving up and up and up. And so we've got to let God change our hearts from loving this world to loving Him. God will greatly bless. Well, this brings us then to the second thing, the endurance of faith. I've already read verse 9. And look at verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, I've mentioned the fact that they were intense. Well, the consequence sometimes of faith is not exactly what you want initially. And so the consequence of faith is often tribulation. James 1:2, we often quote there, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You see, the key step in developing genuine, enduring faith that gets more and more solid in your soul so that you can think right and your life begins to come together is to, when Satan tries to discourage you or just the consequences of doing what's right, you instead of pulling back, you believe God even through the trial. That's what patience is. It's enduring faith. I like to say it this way, it is faith without sight. You know, it's easy to believe something if you can see it. But boy, when it's cloudy, when things aren't going quite like you want it. For instance, let's just take stewardship. All right, I'm going to do it. I am going to trust God, and I'm going to tithe. I'm really going to believe God, and you take that step of faith. Well, inevitably, it seems like something's going to try your faith. Ever been there? And it seems like, oh, no, I'm not going to make it. Enduring faith is, I did what was right regardless. That was God's. It wasn't mine. It's up to God to take care of me, and I'm telling you, 100% of the time, He will. And when you see God come in and meet the need here and meet the need there and help you grow, as you begin to have just that enduring faith, it will turn into, as we're going to see in a minute, you're going to start seeing things and you're going to see the deliverance of God. And so we've got to understand that God wants to build the enduring faith. But you know, a lot of Christians want to run. This is why, you know, take a step of faith, and then if it doesn't work right away, we exit out of the pressure. And we've missed what God's trying to do to develop us, to give us freedom in our life, and to give us purpose, and to have our life be just founded upon that rock of confidence in the Lord. At a cross-country steeplechase exhibition, one horse suddenly shied away from a hurdle and ran into a barbed wire fence. Ugh, the results were a disaster. The rider was taken by ambulance to hospital, and the bleeding horse remained ensnarled in the wire until the slow process of cutting it away was completed. The underlying tragedy was that, in fact, the jump was a low one, which the horse could have easily cleared. Yet the horse apparently took the fence to be an opening in the course and thus an escape from the obstacle. Now, folks, we're like that foolish horse. We just don't like that hurdle that comes. But see, that very hurdle is what will make us. And this illustration actually is pretty accurate. You try to take the escape route, it's barbed wire. It's barbed wire. And you think you got trials believing God. Not having the Lord in a full, close relationship because you've gone the easy route, it's terrible to have the harvest of corruption that comes from a flesh-filled life. And so we've got to realize that as we grow in the Lord, there'll be obstacles, but God will give power to overcome them. He will give the way to go, and you will begin to see God deliver. And that's where your life goes from just being a common life of you having all the pressure to try to figure everything out to a place that you see God's supernatural hand all the time. Why do some Christians just rejoice all the time? Because they're seeing God. I'm telling you, what a relief. You know, God does a whole lot better taking care of our lives than we do. And there are Christians all over this room that could just give testimony after testimony. What a joy it is to put your total trust in the Lord. So it's God's way of developing our faith to be enduring faith during these tribulations. And we must not escape it. Bees undergo an interesting process to ensure the healthy development of their young. The queen will lay each egg in a six-sided cell, which is filled with enough pollen and honey to feed the egg until it reaches a stage of maturity, and the top is sealed with a capsule of wax. And so when the young bee is finally doesn't have any more food, it will have to push through that seal, and it's really a lot of effort to do it. And in doing so and coming through it, it will the casing over their wings will be taken off, and when they exit that, they're ready to fly. If they were to be released without that, the bees would just sting them because there'd be no way to fly. They might as well just die. And you know, folks, God wants us to fly. He wants us to be able to believe Him and to trust Him. And so this matter of enduring faith is so important. Let's look thirdly at the experience of faith. And I've already alluded to that, because when you are taking a step of faith, you're obeying the Lord, you're trusting Him, God begins to move in, you begin to experience God's deliverance, as you find there in Romans chapter 5. It's a wonderful development. Tribulation worketh patience, which works experience. Well, Abraham went through both sides. He went through the barbed wire, and he saw the glory. I'm not going to take the time, but the trial of unbelief. Remember what happened in Genesis 6:16? He had waited 10 years for the promise of Isaac, and nothing had happened. He was getting older and over, and so he took Hagar, according to his wife's suggestion, and Hagar produced Ishmael, not the son of promise. 13 years were lost. He had to learn a lot during that time, but Abraham's faith was restored. And when Abraham and when Sarah were too old to have children, God waited because He wanted to show them, I'm going to keep this promise. And by this time, when that happened, in fact, he just laughed. Wow, that's going to happen to me now. And when that happened, when God gave them that child, there was a deepening there. But, oh, he could have lost his faith. You know, I've seen folks, well, God says, I want you to give that up in your life. Or I want you to serve me in this way. Or the matter of giving, stewardship. It's really tragic. I don't want to put too high a number, but it's a lot of people have told me after they tried to figure things out like Ishmael when it comes to finances and stop giving and stop doing what they should do, I lost a lot of time. My faith was hurt. I wasn't walking in the power of the Spirit. And I woke up to my lack of faith and my manipulation. And Abraham would give quite a testimony. He'd give quite a stewardship testimony. And so his faith had to be restored, and it was. As George Mueller says, each time we work a deliverance of our own by trying to keep our money or keep our life or trying to compromise with worldly things, each time we work a deliverance of our own, we find it more difficult to trust God. At last, we give way entirely to our natural resources and unbelief prevails. Wow, what a statement. So the victory of faith, you see that, and God worked, and God gave Isaac the miracle son, as Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Matthew 19:26. "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And my friend, when God steps in, it's a whole lot better than when we try to work it out. There was a bridge that they were making over the New York Harbor, and one of the bases was going, they were getting ready to put the big base in. Those, you know, those are huge for a bridge like that. And there was an old scow full of bricks and stone that had been sunk in the mud for a long time. And they tried to figure out everything they could do, and with all the power known to mankind, and they could not pull it out. Then an engineer thought, "I got an idea. Let's get two big barges." And so they had ropes and chains that went down, put them underneath that scow, and fully secured it. And they said, "Why don't we let the power of nature, God, take care of this?" And sure enough, the tide came into the New York Harbor, up, up, and up it went, and boom, out came that scow. And my friends, you find the powerlessness of trying to figure things out and the awful harvest. But when we do it God's way, you start experiencing, and that's that journey. When you take a step of faith, you're saved and you grow and you see God work. Yes, there's trials, but you don't escape those, and you have enduring faith, and God gives you confidence, and then you see that deliverance. You realize the mighty power of God to be able to lift you up. And it's a wonderful, wonderful reality. And that leads to confidence. Verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Here we see that they didn't turn back. Abraham continued to go upon the pathway of faith and believe God over his own understanding. He obviously a couple of times went the wrong direction. He learned his lesson, saw God marvelously work. And he came to a place where he realized that what God had called him to do was going to have generational impact, that God was going to have a mighty country come out of that, that the Messiah was going to come, and it would ultimately end up in eternal deliverance, and that there was a much bigger picture. And he began to have a deep confidence that he was part of God's plan for the ages. And that, I'm telling you, folks, when you all of a sudden wake up that you're not just a little peon, that God doesn't even know you, but maybe a number, but that you're right in the center of God's plan, and that everything you're doing, if you'll walk by faith, you are now having generational impact for the glory of God. I just gave my testimony in the class just a couple hours ago about my grandmother's faith has had generational impact. And her willingness to believe God and to be a woman of prayer. Listen, every life will have enormous impact if we learn to walk by faith. And so he was convinced by the experience of walking with God. He knew it. He knew God was going to do what he said. Listen, folks, when you're seeing God work now, then when you look at prophecy, when you look at eternity, that's not just some ethereal thought. This is as tangible to you because you are walking with God. You're communing with him. His word has come alive. You've seen God answer. You've seen God step in. And it's exciting to realize that there is a big picture and that my life is part of that. And that leads to the final aspect of maturity, and that's the sacrificial love of faith. He came to a place, as we read in verse 17, "And by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." Wow. He was willing to go to the ultimate sacrifice for the glory of God. Picture of what God the Father did for us in giving Jesus Christ. You see, the ultimate end of the journey of faith is to get so freed from ourselves and our own selfish desires that we're able to truly sacrifice for others and live in a way that isn't about satisfying our dreams and our visions, though the spiritual dreams and visions are important, of course, but not selfishly, and that it isn't about feeling good and getting what we want. You begin to get a love for God and a love for others. And it's very interesting that Abraham began to develop that. You remember when he saw the great miracle in the battle with Chedorlaomer of Mesopotamia, when Sodom and Gomorrah was attacked by that federation, and all these people were taken away and they were defeated. And here Abraham with his 300 men goes after this mighty army and he delivers Sodom and Gomorrah. That's a pretty amazing thing. Abraham was learning what God could do. And what did he do? As his faith was growing, he tithed his income. Isn't that interesting? You see that in Genesis, but I'll read it to you from the New Testament, Hebrews 7:6. But he whose descent, speaking of Melchizedek, is not counted for them, received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Jacob learned that from his grandfather. He did that when he had that experience at Bethel. Abraham knew that everything that he got was a miracle of God. His riches and all the multitude of things that he had and this great victory over Sodom and Gomorrah and all the wealth that he got from that, he tithed of everything that he got because he believed in God and the ownership of God. He served God and he wanted to show forth the fact that he believed God. And here, he loved God so much he was willing to give up his only son if that's what God had called him to do. You know, friends, when you really get a hold of walking with God and what faith is all about, and you begin to experience God, it becomes less and less of a fearful thing to give of yourself, your life, and then your means to do exactly what he says, to follow the clear instructions on tithing, but above that, and just to have the joy of seeing God work, and you are investing in lives around the world, and to know that this is going to last for eternity, life just becomes wonderful. It makes working on the job even more meaningful. It means just managing your life. It has great eternal consequences. And that's what happened to Abraham. And so he was able to entrust all that he had to God. He was able to believe God. My uncle, Jim Stoutenbarrow, learned how to fly when he was just a kid. That was back before all the licensing and all. He built his own plane. He was a farmer. And so he'd fly those little planes, and he was a daredevil. It was terrible. He'd go underneath bridges. I mean, terrible. I don't know how he lived. He'd scare farmers off their tractors. He'd come, and the guy would drop off, and that old tractor keeps going. He'd just laugh about that. By the way, he got cured of all that. He became a great a leader. I'm so thankful for him. But anyway, he had a very traumatic time when he had to get his instrument rating. You see, he literally was a visual pilot. Everything was his own senses. But, you know, weather doesn't always stay good, and he would be flying longer distances, so he had to get his instrument rating. And he said the hardest thing for him was to trust the instruments over his feelings. But for the sake of those in his plane, his testimony and all that was involved, he knew he couldn't take any chances. And in those early days of flying with instruments, it was really hard. He remember one time he felt like he was flying upside down. He was sure that he was heading straight to the ground, but the instruments were all saying that he was doing what was right. And he was doing what was right. If he had gone with his feelings, he would have gone straight down. Now, folks, when we live a life on the basis of feelings and our own ideas, this is why that occurs. And we never do it alone. We take somebody with us. There's somebody in our plane of life. And I just want to encourage you folks, God is wanting to get us to the place far greater than Abraham because of all that we have in this day, to be able to walk by faith and to see God work and to be right in the center of what he's doing in this day. But we've got to go on that journey from salvation by faith to decisions to leave the world behind by faith. And when trials come, to keep on, not avoid it, and stay right there and believe God in enduring faith. And then to start seeing those experiences and to rejoice in that, let God continue to build us. And then God will give us a love and a freedom from ourselves so that we are free to do what God wants us to do and we can see God work. That's an exciting life, folks. And it starts by the next step of faith that God has for us.